up in upstate New York in a little town called Beacon, right on the Hudson River. And my neighbor was a kind of a older fella that claimed to be a musician, but he played the banjo. And to us little rock and roll kids, it was very confusing, you know, the banjo for all things. And we were like, you know, how good can this guy be? He didn't even have a drummer or a band or anything. So I got invited to get a job at a radio station in Laredo, Texas. And a few months in, about 3 o'clock in the morning, they asked me to pull an oldies record. So I reached in the bin and pulled out this song by Roger McGuinn and the Byrds called Turn, Turn, Turn. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season. And I noticed on the record information that it was written by my crazy neighbor. And I said, oh, that's who Pete Seeger is. So I had no idea that I was living next door to folk music royalty. And he was next door to me playing his banjo, and I had no clue who he was.
That is an amazing story.
Well, when the song ended, this little 2.5-minute song, when it ended, I don't know where the thought came from. It was sort of a musical evangelical moment, but I decided I wanted to be a folk singer. And within a few months of that night, I moved to Mousie, Kentucky, Mousie, Mousie, Kentucky. A deep holler, hillbilly, moonshine making, coal mine and sawmill lumber in Appalachia. And I went up and down the hollers with my guitar and banjo for 2.5 years, knocking on doors and having hundreds of front porch hoot nannies and just learning folk music.
Which is really what Pete Seeger had done a couple of generations before you.
You know, if he doesn't affect me musically, my music is much different than Pete's, but can I use the word spiritually, and you know what I mean? Inspirationally, mm-hmm. He's extremely important to me. And he's a good guy. He's a really nice fella. And a great example of what kind of artist I want to be.
So you're going up and down the hollers of Appalachia and Kentucky, and you're collecting songs, and you're playing with people. When did it occur to you that you wouldn't want to just play these songs, but create conduits so you could play them and other people could play them for bigger audiences?
Pretty much immediately. You have to understand that Appalachia is venue-starved. Mm. There's no places to play. And so what I did is I started doing earth concerts about the environment and earth and nature in schools. And I played to about 3,000 colleges and high schools and in about 20 states in a 4-year time period. And I learned that music is a community thing. It's not something that you do to sell something with. You know, the purpose of music is not to sell CDs. It's to move people. It's to get them to think and to feel and maybe even change, you know, their thinking, their feelings about things. So music is a shared community and much, much more important than just selling stuff. And that started with me right away.
You've embraced technology. I know that you're very inspired by Walden and the writing of Thoreau and nature, but you've also embraced technology with radio, television, and the internet.
Yeah, folk singer 2.0. If Woody Guthrie was here, he'd be online every day.
Right. No, I think that's absolutely right.
He'd be Facebooking with the rest of us.
Which is what he did as much of that as he could when he was alive.
Yeah, well,
you know, the rails and whatnot.
Sure, it's all communication, right?
Right.
I mean, back then they used typewriters and 78 RPM records, and that was the high tech of the day. They were using the high tech of the day. And, you know, today we're online, we're on radio, we're on television. The problem with today is that the world, we are living among the first generation in human history that gets most of their art and music in a two-dimensional form. Mm. It's earbuds and iPods and iPhones and iPads, and it's flat screen TVs, and it's movie screens, and it's screens on the gas pumps, and it's everything is two-dimensional. You know, a friend emails them an MP3, and they Google them, and they YouTube them, and then they download them, and they're done. They've never seen them live.
Huh.
And music is supposed to be a living, breathing, three-dimensional experience. And that's the challenge for artists today.
Speaking of three-dimensional performances, you'll be later this week. You'll be in the auditorium in Eureka Springs. Your own three-dimensional self right there.
Yeah. Well, I'm in Eureka Springs for a full concert at the Odd on Thursday. Then Saturday, I have a live audience radio show called the Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour. And we're going to be in Conway outside of Little Rock Saturday night. And we're taping two broadcasts in one night celebrating all the music of Arkansas. And artists from all over the state are coming to be on the Woodsong stage. And Woodsongs airs on about 506 radio stations worldwide, plus American Forces Radio Network in 173 nations. And it's on PBS across the country. Matter of fact, Arkansas Educational Television Network is going to be there with us, so everybody will see that show on TV. But before I do that, I'm in Eureka Springs. I'll be on stage with my guitar and banjo, and we're gonna turn Eureka Springs into one huge front porch.
I want to ask you about a couple songs on your latest CD, which is titled Front Porch. There's a song, the second song on there, called Ghosts.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And I wonder, I mean, here is a song that in 2.5 minutes you paint this wonderful portrait with your words.
Front cover of the Front Porch album, there's a log cabin front porch. That's my front porch. A few months ago, I bought a log cabin on 7 acres in Kentucky, and I just remember standing in the log cabin for the first time and touching the log walls, and you could almost hear the vibrations. You could feel the vibrations of the stories of the people and the families that used to live in that log cabin for years and years and years.
I'll leave the light on. I'll unlock the door. I'll light up a candle. And I'll hope you'll come home. It's an old log cabin. Someone lived here before.
The original owner of the log cabin, old woman, was a fiddle player. And so that's what the song is about. It's about being in that cabin and hearing her story.
This song needs a fiddle. This song needs a bow. This song needs forgiveness, so it won't sound alone.
There is live your rendition of Paco Bell's Cannon, and about 15 minutes later, there's Taco Bell's Pea Shooter.
Yes.
Help us
out. Well, you know, Paco Bell's Cannon is just this, it's the classical standard. It's a beautiful song, and I wanted to make a folk version of Paco Bell's Cannon. When I recorded the other banjo instrumental, I was trying to come up with a name, and it's like, well, I got Paco Bell's Cannon. This is a much lesser song. It's obviously a pea shooter. So what rhymes with Paco Bell? Well, Taco Bell.
A lot of people listening to our conversation are people who will be at the Odd Thursday night in Eureka Springs. What's the last couple of minutes before you go on stage like for you? Do you have a routine? Is there anything that you'll be doing just before you hit the stage?
Probably sitting in the green room with a room temperature bottled water. Just grateful as all get out that I get to do this for a living. These people are coming. They're going to give you 90 minutes of their life, and they're going to sit there and listen to you. And that is the most unbelievable privilege for an artist, and I never take it for granted. So usually a couple minutes before the show, I'm just bathed in a very happy, comfortable feeling because I so completely love what I do. And I'm grateful to the audience for letting me do it.